All right, we're just going to flip it together, boys.
Pop that cherry.
Centering is not very good on the back.
Again.
All right, ready?
Not a very good back shot there, but...
Boom.
Oh, my God.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're on episode 39 of Big Deck Energy. We're going to be diving into some pro quest talk, some spoilers, and as well as our, you know, weekly days in fab, as well as a gold foil ripping at the end again this episode.
Two in a row. You guys are getting spoiled.
Yeah, I know. Last week we kind of joked and promised we'd have another one for you, but
lo and behold,
we actually do have another one somehow. Yeah,
you got some other exciting gold foil news, don't you, too?
Yeah. Definitely made a couple moves this week.
Money moves.
Consolidate. Yeah. We traded some gold foils and traded up into some gold foils. So,
but I am one of your hosts, Josh Lucian. Joined with me today is Bailey Hilton, Tyler Barrett, and Ben Clifford. Why don't we get right into it? I know a couple of you played in a ProQuest. Two of us did absolutely nothing.
Surprise.
That's not true.
Don't say that.
I ordered cards online.
Oh. Ooh, what'd you order?
What was the order?
Was it Hold the Lines?
No. Fuck no, it wasn't Hold the Line. It was a Marvel Codex of Inertia. And,
and that was not what I was
some Riptide pieces for coming up. Yeah, it should be here tomorrow, and then I have all three Marvels.
Whoa, let's go. Wait. Doesn't Hold the Line just go right into Riptide?
Oh, yeah. I need to get Hold the Line.
Oh, okay. Like
super right. Bad.
The way you reacted made it sound like you were just like...
I was actually off that card, honestly. I think I told you guys about that. Really? But
I was looking at that card when it was like $5 a pop, and it's like 30. I'm so mad at myself.
Yeah, I bought my foils when they were like 12. No. So I got
wheeling and dealing after the ProQuest this weekend, and... This dude was like going through my binder. He's like, oh shit, you got like Roar of the Tigers? He's like, those are like 10 something bucks a piece now. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, just for the non-foils?
Yeah.
I have like 6 foils. I'm not kidding.
I felt like I walked out of a calling or something. Like, you know, you walk out of those big events, you just have a bunch of shit. And
I
walked out of there just with so many cards that I needed for my binders and a gold foil.
That's honestly one of my favorite things about these bigger events is that you just... wheel and deal at the end of them.
I just felt like this one especially deals. Though, like I made out like a bandit, dude. I don't know what happened.
Dude, I made some purchases at the shop as well after the plane.
Ooh.
Extended art diadem of Dream State.
And you got the
and
Phoenix
a Marvel diadem. Phoenix flame.
For 15.
Yeah, nice. Dude.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they had
they were just like sitting in the case. I was like,
they had actually like fab singles there for sale, which is cool. Shout out to Phoenix Games, by the way, which is where our ProQuest was this weekend. But yeah, they had fab singles. They had a death match in there. I was tempted to
snag that one.
Yeah, I still need that for my set.
Was that Nathan's?
I don't know if he sold it. I don't think he sold it to the shop. I wonder.
He was trying to sell it to me.
I told him. I said, dude, I need it. Just any card I don't have, you know, like. You can eventually give it to me or sell it to me.
I love how whenever he has a card, he just goes right to me. He's like, Josh.
He does that on purpose, little bastard.
I know. I know he does.
No, I got a couple cards from him, though. Actually, I can talk about that right now. Since we're on the topic, I sold/traded the gold foil to Nathan. The Arcane Lantern
stays in the group.
Stays in the locals for Legends. Yep. So it's still, which I felt good about.
He was like anti bling.
Me too.
Not that though.
Me too. But we got him. We finally got him, Mr. Anti Rainbow Foil over there.
Of course, it was an Arcane Lantern too.
Yeah, I mean, he traded me a couple of singles that I needed for heavy hitters, and I think he gave me like a Scowling flesh bag. I still needed one of those. And then Dylan ended up opening the cold foil, So I got both the rainbow and the cold foil. I'm missing both of them from my binder in the set.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. I after the event, Ty was wheeling and dealing. It was like watching the Art of the Deal over
there. Yeah, what ended up happening was I lost to I'll get into it later, but I lost to Rothermel in the top eight again. This weekend. And ended up just basically re-upping gold foil. Like, took the cash I got from Nathan and some of the some of the trades made up for it too. So I got basically my money back for the Arcane Lantern, and then we're gonna try again tonight, boys.
Should have gone to Wisconsin and tried to snag a third.
I was gonna say, have you seen many listings for a gold foil Arcane Lantern?
No, you can't. No, like, no, you no can't one find like listings lists of any these. Of them. Yeah, it's
they're all like okay. private sales.
Well, they do list on the
to be honest
Facebook
it's,
page.
It's a like this month, especially if you like are refreshing the pages on the week. Like weekend, like nighttime weekends, you'll see people list the sealed gold foils or the open ones just from their ProQuests, you know, this whole month, because all around the world, the ProQuests are happening. So this is like the best time to find and buy gold foils. But after this period, when no one's really like, they're not in circuit or circulation, I should say.
They don't really like...
They don't. It's hard to find sales data on this stuff.
They're just fun. They're... My thought is they're funding their trip to go to the Pro Tour, right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of players like use them as.
So it's like a dime a dozen if you actually get the Majestic. Yeah. Like literally a dime a dozen.
No, it sucks. It's really hard to do. I was we were trying to kind of think back and look at all the ones that were open. I don't think a Majestic has been opened in Minnesota yet. They've all been commons, and then I think the Arcane Lantern was rare.
I think we're staring at it right now.
Centauri Saber was open.
Oof.
Ben Cumming opened a Crucible of Aetherweave. Shout out to Ben. He won another one. So
he won one.
He won. There was a double header that day. They both had a ProQuest on the same day in our area, which was unfortunate. But I think we had 27 or 28, right?
Dreamers Vault.
Yeah, Dreamers.
Yep. Okay.
The Dreamers spot I think had low numbers at their shop, but yeah, Ben ended up taking that one down, and he opened a Crucible. Like I said, I know Cass opened like Centauri Saber last weekend. That was an awesome hit right there.
Especially right now.
We got the Arcane Lantern. I want to say like the Galvanic Bender was opened by Chris maybe, and then he also opened a Heart and Cross Draft, I believe, at the Battleground one. So all commons, and then the
one rare.
I think we're staring at the Majestic.
Hey man,
don't you
courage.
You courage. Said that last week. I think this time I'm just gonna flip it and reveal it to all of us.
You just keep it face down and just flip it. Yeah, you don't want the oh.
I'm like, oh boys, come on, you gotta give me something.
Next time when you rip your galvanic benders again, we'll just go, oh.
You clipped it up so nice last week at the beginning to make it seem like we hit something good.
Then it just...
talk about clickbait. That was fucking great, dude. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Pretty good.
But why don't we get into your guys' ProQuest? How did it go for both of you? Who'd you play? How'd the rounds go?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't go terribly. I did honestly better than I was expecting. Was expecting to start the day out 0-2, you know, to be fair. But I pivoted like literally last minute. Like the night before, I was like having fever dreams, and I was like, I can't play Bolton.
It was so funny. Not to interrupt you, babe, but he gets in the car, right? We carpooled there, all four of us, me, Sean, and Dylan, and him.
Literally was making changes like right up until I like showed up to get in the car.
We were talking at breakfast. We're talking about what you were gonna play, and I was like, no, he said he locked Bolton or whatever. And you get in the car, and like one of the first things he says is, "I'm on Azalea." We all just kind of lose our mind. Because like Azalea is probably a better choice, right?
Yeah, it was basically like, "Hey guys, what's up? I'm on Azalea today."
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
But yeah, so ended up on Azalea. I made a ton of like last minute changes, and I mean, I basically rebuilt the entire deck.
Yeah.
The night before.
Yeah.
To more of like a mid rangey kind of. I didn't really have like a clear like sideboard before, cut it down to like 48 cards main board, like 25 in the sideboard. So I have options there for different matchups.
Yeah. I always love like building the decks like that where you just build up and
that's like matchups. Rangers can do that so easily. Like I have a couple of different like arrow packages in there. Some like D-reacts for the aggro matchups where I am going to be blocking more stuff like that. I forgot about Release the Tension and it saved my ass.
That's in some the D-react
like
one, right?
Guardian and like Riptide matchups this weekend. Which was fucking amazing. It was like an immediate payoff. I was like, how have I like not been running this card?
Yeah, that card and Remorseless are like the two you don't want to see.
Somehow forgot about like decks. Take Aim, just a zero cost buff three and a reload. Like, I don't know how I forgot about that.
I've always thought that card's been underplayed, to be honest. The reload will just like save your fucking ass sometimes.
Oh,
because it like
reloads
a dead card.
I was talking about that card to you guys when I was on Riptide.
Yeah, like that's what I used it for most often. I'd like reload, opt off of Skullbone, and then maybe I'd still have to play what was in Arsenal, but a lot of the time it was a hit off the top, so I would just swap it out. And I've been doing less like dominating with the Azalea ability too. I think I was kind of like overdoing it before with the build that I was running.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes you do want like cards out of their hand. Like you don't want to like leave them with stuff. There was one game yesterday where he must have just been like stuck with a bad hand or something. So I was really trying to like push the dominates there to kind of just like leave him with what he had in there and have him like slowly pitch it away.
Yep.
But other than that, it was I'm running the full rainbow of Bolton Shot, obviously. So there was a lot of like seven go agains off the Bolton Shots and stuff like that into whatever. I was like bringing in like the fatigue shots into the Guardian matchups were crazy good.
Yes, dude. Those are like must haves.
Sleep Dart. It's fucking amazing.
That card just kills Levia. Sometimes, you know, you just dominate it, make it hit. That's like so scary against a Levia.
Yeah, but ended up going 2-2-1 on the day. Started the day off with a draw, which was kind of a bummer.
Dude, that game sucked. That was tragic.
Oh, you were watching the
You guys were the last match, and again, not to, Bailey basically had to blind Azalea twice, and if he just hits a fucking arrow, he wins that.
All game. I had to hit was an arrow,
and he went to turns. Nothing. Last turn, you know, his opponent was on zero. He was on the last turn, and he just had, I mean, lined up where he had to blind Azalea and just hit one arrow, any arrow, and he wins.
Just nothing.
What was it, a Rain Razors, I think?
I think it was a Rain Razors.
fucking blows, dude.
Yeah, it sucked. Round two was a loss. I was playing into a Victor. And I could not get there.
Seems like a bad matchup.
Low key, like, was blocking a little too much in that matchup, probably, where I should have just, like, held on to things. He was just not letting up. Like, every clash was hitting up. Like, I swear to God, I think for every single clash, I hit a non attack. Every single one.
Oof. Was he like heavy defensive Victor? Wasn't he playing staunches and stuff?
Yeah. And like anytime I'd be able to get off like a dominated arrow, he was just sitting on like a staunch in Arsenal or something like that, or an unmovable. And
it feels really bad when the shit lines up that way. You finally do the thing.
It was brutal. I ended up actually conceding that match. I think we were like a minute or two off a time. I had like three cards left in deck. And so I like blind Azalea and realized I had three non-attacks left in deck, and I was like, there's no point in dragging this out to another draw. Like, you got me. So that was a bummer. I had a bye round three. So free wins at a ProQuest. Woo! one round four playing into... What did I play into round four? I think round four was a Dory. Yeah. Round four was a Hatchet Dory. I was so nervous going into that one. Brought in like all of my D-reacts and everything just to try to like shut down the axes and everything like that. I don't know. Things were hitting pretty well that game. Neither of us were really blocking a whole lot. So we got down to like, I want to say it was like 1-3 towards the end of the game. And I was getting thin on deck again and couldn't, I'd like blocked with Skullbone the turn before, I think, to like put me to one. So I couldn't opt now. I was sitting on like a Murkmire Grapnel, I like sideboarded in some of my like zero cost arrows just to try to race story. And play literally just like, no, I wouldn't even have it in Arsenal. I had like a Codex. I had like Codex of Merkmire crap back from Graveyard, just looking for like any zero cost arrow. And so get that in there, just shoot a vanilla like Merkmire, just four, no go again, nothing. And he ended up blocking with like his dynamos and then played a take it on the chin and went to reactions after that. And ended up getting him on the take it on the chin and the whole like damage prevention thing with
can't prevent it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
That so sucks. I was like, that sucks. Like, I mean, like a win's a win, is, but like, yeah. I was like, ah, damn. Yeah. Like, that's
here's the thing, too. When you're in a big event like that and somebody asks you for a take back, like, you can't allow that.
Oh, no. No,
like at all.
Not in certain spots, yeah.
No,
especially not when you're playing, something like that.
Especially when you're playing for like a gold foil, a pro tour invite. Like you can't allow things like that to happen.
And it was like what, like I roll that back, and then you kill me next turn.
Yeah.
Like no, so I was like, no, like he did ask me like if he could like roll it back, and I was like. Nah, dude, like, I'll call the judge over, like, if you want, but, like, we've already, like, passed a reaction.
Yep.
And
that's like, all just, like, you know, that fine line of knowing what your cards do. And it's just, like, you know, knowing when they're good and when they don't work and
that type of thing. Yeah, it was super weird, too, because, like, he was taking the time to, like,
think it out
read, like, unfamiliar arrows, like, beforehand and everything like that. And it was just, like, the one time he didn't.
Oh, he just didn't even, like, read it.
Yeah. That sucks. So I was like that.
It sounded kind of like Dylan's day, just winning off of the breaking scales a couple times. He got so many people. That was like card of the day for him, dude.
Breaking scales is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And then played into a Katsu round five. Not Dylan. There was like someone else on Katsu and just got absolutely cooked.
Did he beat you like in a couple turns or something? Because, yeah. Once you find Red and Ledger, I find you can pretty much keep them coming between your codexes and Nox. And
yeah.
Just finding
I found like one red like turn one and just couldn't hit like anything after that. He was running the whole like Dishonor line, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so he starts like going off. It was like turn three or four, and he's like, yeah, okay, so that goes. I'm gonna pop Mask of the Pouncing Lynx and then the boots here and blah blah blah. And I'm like just sitting there, I'm like, I know it's coming. And I look at my hand. And I'm sitting on two non-attacks that block for two and two Rain Razors. And yeesh. I was like, fuck. Like I don't know. There wasn't really a whole lot where I could have, like, blocked differently. But I was like, okay, like, at this point, like, I just need to wait for the Dishonor, block out the Dishonor, and hope that I can still just, like, dominate stuff off the top, right? And it was bad. I ended up having to give both my Skullbone and my Tunic just to stop the Dishonor hit.
That sucks. Because
he still had Breaking Scales up. So I was like, dude, I've been killed by Breaking Scales again, before. Yeah. I think from this Dylan. So I was like very aware of Breaking Scales at that point. And I'm looking over there and I'm like, fuck, like I'm going to have to give up like both of my equipment here just to survive this. And it was just no coming back after that. It was bad. But yeah, so I ended up going 2-2-1 on the day. Honestly, I'm still pretty happy with my performance. There wasn't a whole lot of games. There was a couple of times where I would like made some like misplays. But nothing that was like game changing, more so just like things that like could have lined up differently during my turn as far as like getting a dominated arrow off or something like early game.
Yep.
But With the changes and everything, she's humming now. There was, I think, maybe one time where I like had a very clear like whiff on something, and it's so much more consistent now.
You like to see it, for sure.
Yeah. Are you thinking like leaning Azalea for Nath and the calling and stuff?
I think so. Like I know.
I know your definition of locking in a deck is not.
Well, I know coming into this one, I was like, oh, I'm going to be on Bolton. I'm going to be on like so-and-so. But like, this is, I mean, Azalea is my deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just like what I've played, like what I'm comfortable on. Yep. And like, I mean, that's part of why I fell back on it this weekend. I just did not feel
Yep.
I was playing like Talishar earlier in the week on Bolt, and then I just was not feeling comfortable on it, or like as comfortable as I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird strategy, right? And you have to, I guess, I mean, I haven't really played it, but I've played against it. And it kind of just feels like they just sit there and dirtle around and they just swing for four. And it's like this old school way of playing Fab and a little archaic almost, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas you can kind of target that play style. And
yeah. And it's just not like it's a funny deck to play. Yeah. It's just not a fun deck to play. Like I think if I had brought it, like I could have done well still. Mm-hmm. But I like I said, I feel good on Azalea.
Yeah.
Especially like with these recent changes that I made, it feels so much better. So awesome. I'll probably be on that for Battle Hardened Nats.
Hell yeah. Yeah, the Battle Hardened for that is, I think, Sunday.
Probably so maybe
all of us that scrub out the calling Saturday, we can go play the Battle Hardened on Sunday.
Oh yeah.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah, dude.
are you coming to that, Josh? Will you be there for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will be there for that.
Okay.
I got EMT.
We got it on. We got it on video. Now we got the recording.
I will be there for it. I know. I said I was going to be there at last one.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, had to go to my sister's graduation. So it was not ideal.
Josh, I want you to know, if you somehow try to weasel your way out beforehand, you better have changed your fucking lots.
Weasel my way out of a
Nats
in Minneapolis. I don't think
here's the bigger question. What about the BDE Airbnb?
BDE Airbnb, yeah, that's gonna be a tough one.
Okay,
that's gonna be tough.
I don't know if he's
unless you
want a
crying
one.
Baby
we can't
inside
ask for
room.
The moon here.
That's what, that's your call.
We're
gonna be staying with Bailey. What's the difference?
Hey, Ben, are you coming down for the Airbnb and everything?
Yeah, I just need to. Right. I need to actually like talk about that because I have no idea what's going on. But I'm off that weekend, so
yeah,
I'm like,
well,
fuck
we got
it,
like a
yeah.
like.
I'm pretty sure when
six
we
six bedroom or something for the weekend.
I think it's like we have 10 available, and like when we were doing headcount,
it sleeps 10. Yeah.
Yeah, when we were doing headcount, I think you guys were accounted for, but obviously you and Cliff. And
it still
I
feels
will.
So funny to me, like getting an Airbnb literally 40 minutes away from where we live. But like, it'll be a fun weekend.
Well,
I like.
Here's the thing, like basically.
Speak for yourself.
Well, yeah, maybe you.
This is a godsend.
No, it's going to be great just for the card environment. Like, playing at Nats in Vegas, it was kind of just me and Tanner. I mean, I know Nathan and Carter were there, but I barely saw those guys that weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Carter was kind of, like, hanging out with his Utah crew, and Nathan, I don't know, was Nathan judging at that point? I don't think he was.
Nathan doing Nathan things?
No, he was playing in...
Was he?
He almost positive he was playing.
He's playing a lot of side events, I know, that weekend. But no, like, to experience that type of thing, dude. And, like, because, like, you just walk to your room and you are right there. The convention center is, like, right there. You just do cards all day,
is the
every day.
House to the convention center?
It's like not a 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
But okay. Then people will have cars, so we can also just drive if we want. But I'm
so in the middle of, like, Minneapolis. We got, like, Uber and stuff like that, too.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Isn't there something weird that
happened?
Oh, yeah.
There's
so for,
this
for
is like
anyone,
very much not Fab talk, but like there's some funky shit going on.
So
with like
for anybody coming to Nats in Minneapolis, Uber and Lyft have left Minneapolis.
Have they officially?
I'm almost positive. By that time when Nats is going on, they have fully left. You will not have access to Uber. You will not have access to Lyft.
All right. Well, hey, for $5 a mile, I'll be out there taxiing people around. Don't put that in. Don't put that in. Don't hold me to that.
Bailey's out there. He's got guys on his back. He's just
dude. I'd take my mom's minivan whip and carpool 8 people. I would.
Yeah, I mean, if I could have my dad van, I would definitely bring it too. But
I might see if I can get the truck down there.
We're gonna need. Honestly, we should just have a vehicle or two for all of us to pack in there. Dude, like, not to deep dive on the Airbnb BDE house, but there's like, there's gonna be like arcade games there. There's a pool table, foosball table.
Yeah, Ben, we're gonna be shooting pool for a bit. I told Ty I'd bring down the Xbox and everything too. We can like LAN party or whatever the first night down there.
Smash you guys up in some Halo.
If anybody,
kind of fun. Oh. But
hey, I got Master Chief.
You don't think I can hang, dude?
Not with me.
Oh, okay,
ask Bailey.
He's all right.
He's all right.
All right.
Here we go.
I I'm not going to get started on that page.
Jen. Sorry, Jen. So let's bring it back. We are a fab podcast.
Ty, how was your Nats? Or not Nats. I got Nats on the brain now.
I know, dude. It's going to be so fun.
How was your ProQuest weekend?
It was another successful weekend. It was incredible, honestly. It was kind of... I kind of saw all of the hard work I put in this season kind of come to fruition a bit. Like, I know I said that a little bit with Legends and Top 8ing. That was special for me, but I made it to the quarterfinals in this one. Made it past that first top 8 round, which was nice. lost to Rothermel again. It's unfortunate.
Oof.
I mean, the guy's just a fucking good player, dude. His deck's really strong. Him and I were talking about his deck afterwards, and it's like, you know, even without agilities, his deck is just always has the go again. I mean, he's attacking for three times. Like, the KO deck he's playing is just very strong.
Would you say that he has big deck energy?
Yeah, definitely big deck energy. That deck is fucking wild. It's a wild ride.
One may say.
But
hey, no, I mean, listen. If you ever want to talk about that big deck energy, Rothermel, you know how to hit us up. Come on, talk about it.
Oh, I'd love to have him on. I bet he would if we asked him. But he, I guess I can go through my matchups. I'll start with round one. I played our teammate Carter. Really sucked. We've been playing a lot of our teammates this season. We were talking.
I didn't play any.
Shut up, Josh. Shut up, Josh. I know you've been saying that.
Hey, I didn't play any of them, so I don't know if that throws a wrench in your theory or not. But.
Well, that just hasn't historically happened to me, I don't think, very often. You and I have played in a ProQuest, one of the early ones we ever went to.
You and me. We were both 2-0, I think, at that point. Every time goes, every time, dude. And it sucks.
I know it. But no, Carter showed up with KO. none of us knew he was on KO.
Stick to his thing? Was he on five different heroes?
Yes,
he was on five total different heroes, yep.
For a second, I thought he was going to bring Kano and just burn the place to the ground.
No shot. No shot, Carter.
I don't think I've ever seen Carter on Kano.
Me neither.
Ever.
No. What were you going to say, Cliff?
I wanted to ask. So he did five different decks at five different PQs.
Yep.
How many of those did he top eight at?
Three of them.
I think three, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really impressive in its own right. I just wanted to take a moment to point that out.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's like bringing fucking awesome.
Five different heroes and top 8ing three of the five. That's good shit. Like,
yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's a good player.
Evidently.
Obviously, too. Like, you look at the two outside the KO top 8. I think they were both his assassins. He top 8ed with Arachne and Azuri.
Arachne and Azuri. Respectfully. That makes sense. Reason.
Of course he did.
That's his main. Yeah. I mean,
he knows what he's about for those decks.
Yeah, for sure. So our game kind of, I mean, I was just going to say how I generally can beat KOs. I think that matchup isn't as scary for Teclo as it is for some decks. I was on Teclo again, obviously. But his blood rushes were just very strong. I think kind of if they all line up first cycle really well, like I just die. And good.
He was hitting on his blood rushes too.
Yeah, they were very strong. His blood rushes were good.
I think it was like his match to get into top 8 and he ended up winning off like a double blood rush.
I saw that.
And I was whoa.
That's why you play that card, dude.
So strong.
KO's just
unbelievable.
KO does
filthy
things right now.
Yeah.
But no, I joked with him after I lost to him. I was like, well, I just got a 4-1, you know, old school magic ways where, you know, people would just like not show up for round one to take the round one loss to get put in the loser's bracket, you know? So losing round one to Carter, I don't know. I took it pretty well. I was just, I wasn't like very down or hard on myself. Losing round one sucks at these, right?
Oh, yeah. For tiebreakers, I mean, did you still play well?
Yeah, the game, I did play well. The game went like how it should have. I think his deck just did what it was supposed to do quicker and faster. And that's kind of how that matchup really works. If I like can establish my evils quickly, really against any deck, that's kind of like that free roll feeling that I think Teclo offers in some matchups where if you get lucky and just establish them very quickly, it can kind of snowball. And then with KO, obviously, if like he did, he just has good blood rush turns. It just can snowball.
Yeah.
So like I said, I wasn't too upset. Kind of took some of these PQs, as a lesson to not like tilt early when you like lose. Mm-hmm. Especially to a teammate, you know, it sucks to like have that happen. Round two was actually against Alex, another teammate.
Oh, so great.
We're both 0-1. He was on Bolton again.
He was? Okay. Yeah,
he's on Bolton. He's been playing Bolton all season. He top eighted.
He like called me out too as soon as I walked in the door for like low key, like not remembering at first who he was like last pod.
Good for you, Alex.
I was like, yes. No, I know who he is. I don't know why I was so confused last weekend, but Alex, I do know who you are.
Oh, Alex is good shit. He's building Teclo.
Alex,
is he actually?
Yeah, he's building Teclo.
Yeah.
No, Alex is good shit.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Him and I played I would like to say it was a pretty fair game. I mean, I just had too much life when I played Singularity. His Lumina's never lined up to like double or triple Lumina. Talking with him after the game, you know, I think a Bolton deck kind of has to set that up to beat Teclo.
And like just
yeah, if you're just playing like the typical Bolton stuff and you're not like setting up that huge pop-off turn, it's very, very hard, I think, for Bolton to beat a Teclo.
Yep.
So 1-1 after that point. It's feeling good. Came up against the Viscerai. I do want to do a cast correction. Last week I said I played a Vincent, and then I went on to say that I got hit by an Arcanine Ascendancy. So if our listeners caught that, I meant to say I played a Viscerai last weekend in the PQ.
Was it mid-range Viscerai?
Both. Or... So the one last weekend was OTK, and then this weekend was also an OTK Viscerai.
That was, okay. Yeah, my round one was like an OTK Vis.
I think it was the same opponent, Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor.
Yep. Yeah. Was a good guy, you know. Everyone in our scene is so friendly. Like, seems like I say that about every one of my opponents, but it was 1-1 at this point. And this matchup is weird because we've talked about it with Rustarel, like how you can throw their math off. I found it early though in this matchup. I think turn 2 or 3. I think it was 2. And then he kind of just pivoted and started to do like the mid range thing. He'd build up 6, 7, 8, 10 chance, whatever, and then shoot him at me with some stuff. And like, he wasn't really He stopped doing the OTK once he saw the Rust Relic, I suppose. He built up some good chance his first couple turns. He went first, I remember. And yeah, that was, I want to say, like, it's probably harder for me to beat a Viscerai when they're doing the mid-range thing and they're sending the rune chance at me every few turns or whatever instead of trying to OTK me. Because if you give me time with Rusted Relic and all the blues I play, you know, I can set up, you know, 12 block on my armor for their Oath and then whatever 12 rune chance, you know, so that's 24 extra life on top of the rune chance they have to build up, right? So it's hard for an OTK deck to like go to end game without attacking me, I think. So it was actually closer than like I would have liked, honestly. I don't know, I originally thought I was unfavored into rune blades. I'm not sure if that's the case after this season. Maybe it's just like the off the back of the Rusted Relics.
I think it all depends on how quick you can find your Rusted Relics.
But in RTN season, man, I remember playing a Vincent. I didn't find one all game.
And we just need an AB Evo.
Well,
I didn't find a Rusted Relic all game. Boys.
How many?
I didn't have AB all game.
How many do you run?
2. And that day, I want to say, yeah, I do. I think that's when I trimmed one. And I was like, of course, I trimmed. I went from 3 to 2, and I was like, oh, fuck. And they're both at the bottom of my deck.
If you run 2 out of 60, what is that?
First cycle, like, here's the problem. You will see them. It's just like if you see them quickly early in your first cycle,
yeah.
Like you will see them in a game. You almost always go to.
You will see them first cycle.
No, I know that. I'm saying if they're at the bottom of your first cycle, sometimes they'll both get stacked at the bottom of that first cycle, and that's like in that Vincent game. Like I drew them at the end of the game, and they're both in the same hand, of course. So they're literally on top of each other at the bottom of my deck.
Oof.
Like the worst case scenario.
I was going to say, you see them first cycle no matter what.
That's what I was trying to. We're both saying the same thing, John. Yeah. But no. I think this was my opponent's first time seeing Teclo transform. So it's always my pleasure to do that. I love showing people kind of what happens.
Just mind blown.
Yeah. It's,
right there.
It's pretty cool. You know, 2-1 at that point, kind of knowing that another win pretty much locks me up, I think. After playing Viz, got paired into Alevia, Cass. Is a very good player. Believe he won a Battle Hardened recently, or maybe like a PTI event or something. Also won a Pro Quest last week, I want to I'll say tabletop. But I don't know this. I think Levia does scarier things than some of the brutes, but like, if you just don't attack her, I kind of found out in this game and then like playing Joseph last weekend, like if you just are careful with your attacks and you're not attacking her early and you're just really taking the time to set up, their hands can be really clunky because they need that those cards in banish, right? So yeah, it was kind of the game went just kind of how my deck would want it to go, where he ended up transforming at the end of the game into redeemed, so it turned off his blood debt. But at that point, I had transformed, and it didn't matter.
The heart of the cards were with you.
That's kind of a cool way for the game to go. Both of you getting into the demi heroes. That's kind of sick.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. I always have to read Levia when she transforms and how she does it. It's just like free. Well, you just get up to 13 blood debt and you just like do it.
That's the thing, though, is that they have two. Levia has two. Teclo only has one.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Cass was telling me how like the other side is the better side, obviously, and you read Levia the other side redeemed. And you get the you get the extra card. Yeah. So like that's like what you want to be doing, and the redeemed is kind of like it just kind of saves your ass.
Yeah,
like desperate measures calls for desperate times type thing, or I had that backwards. Desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Desperate measures.
But yeah. So after that dub, 3-1. So I was like, oh shit, you know, here we go.
Cooking.
Think I'm locked. Get paired into Vincent, for real this time. An actual Vincent, into Michelle. And she's all decked out in Vincent gear. Shout out to Michelle. It was pretty sweet. She had a Vincent shirt.
Yeah, she had like the shirt.
It was awesome.
I need one of those shirts.
It was. I know you do. Yeah, I know.
Michelle, if you listen.
We should ask her where she got it.
Send us one.
Dummy
mommy.
She,
Vincent.
No, we should see if like wherever she got it from can put Dummy mommy on there for Bailey. Someone just change the letter.
I'll wear it to Dummy Mommy on the back, yeah. And then the front's Vincent.
Yeah. Speaking of shirts, he freaking doesn't even show up with his BDE shirt. I'm just like, dude. Son of a bitch.
Bailey?
I'm sorry. Hey, at least I showed up. You want to get into this?
Oh,
let's go.
He's got the high ground, Josh, again. He's got the high ground.
It's over.
Don't do it.
Hello there.
Brother.
Hello there. Brother. Special teams, special plays, special players.
I was not a special player this last weekend.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, you just weren't a player.
You weren't.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
No, so.
Josh keeps feeding me beverages. Getting a little loose.
Yeah, it's a fun one tonight. We got to get ready for this gold foil later.
Yeah, we do.
But
yeah, so that was round four, right?
This was last round, yep. So I'm three and one going into the last round. Oh, want to mention too, Dylan, I think, was at 3-1 at this point. He had early locked. So he was playing free this next round.
He was.
And you know what? I just want to say, I said it last weekend too, because last weekend he went 4-2, really close from top 8, placed 10th. Dylan is one of our oldest locals at Legends on Main. He's even played, he played Magic like, you know, over a decade ago there.
He's been there for.
Back with me and Sean, you know, when Sean was a. Literally like a 12, like a 13 year old. No, I mean, I knew Sean when he was a middle schooler. Yeah. Sean is like, I drank beers with Sean at Skirmish last year, and it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah, it's weird a little bit.
No, I remember meeting Dylan first time.
Dylan was an old Magic player at Legends. And then, he moved a mound and played it at Adventure Loot and stuff. But he has been playing this game for years, and he has traveled to a lot of these tournaments with us, and he always comes pretty close, and he does pretty well at these, you know. It's just kind of pushing that extra win each of the days, and he finally did that at the Legends PQ, went 4-2, missed out, placed 10th in a pretty big field, played well too, played his ass off that day. And in this tournament, I mean, he started 2-0, dropped a game, and then went 3-1, so I mean, he locked right there, and then he even won the last round, went 4-1. So he locked top 8, and just like, I mean, you couldn't say anything to that man to knock him off.
Seed was?
So I think he was third or fourth.
So we had.
He might have been third.
I think Nathan's up there. Three of our Legends guys make it to top 8.
Mm-hmm.
All of you were 4-1.
Yep. I did want to talk about the Vincent matchup before we go into the top 8, but we all were 4-1. Yes. We all ended up 4-1. Me, Carter, and Dylan were all 4-1. Yep. So that was actually kind of cool too, like to see Sean the Legends crew perform in a way where you know, multiple of our team, you know, gets in that top eight.
We're breaking out.
I think that's the only time that's ever happened.
We're breaking out.
It's kind of nice. We bought like a card game afterwards and we're playing that in the corner while they were playing top eight. Well,
what card game?
I cannot remember the name of it. We can talk about it later. But
it's like a Dungeons and Dragons like knockoff with like cartoon kitties and exploding fucking unicorns.
Are we playing Hello Kitty around here?
I mean, I don't know. It looks fun. It actually looked cool, but so yeah, the Vincent game. Michelle is always playing, I want to say, like, cool decks. Her Dash deck, every time I play against her with Dash, I always feel like she cooks me. And Vincent plays not like Dash, but there's definitely some turns where, again, I found my Rusted Relics early, or the one I needed. And I think if that happens with the consistency of making the Evos, there's not much a Vincent can do, to be honest. I think the way a Vincent beats a Teclo is if I stumble on the Rusted and I leak too much damage and they don't give me time to set up. Got to Singularity in that game as well. And yeah, end of the day.
Did 4-1. You transform in all of your games?
I was actually today? Just thinking about that.
Yesterday?
I didn't transform in the game against Carter. I lost round one. I was very close to doing it. And I was, again, too low. I think it was the turn I died. I have to play it. And then Alex, I did. I've transformed against Viscerai, transformed against Cass, transformed against, yeah, Vincent.
All of them.
Michelle, yeah. And then I did transform against Carter in top eight. Sadly, Carter and I got paired into top eight. But it was nice, I will say, to get a little vengeance from the last top eight. It was cool for him and I to each kind of knock each other off one time this season. I believe him and I both top three of the five we all went to. We both hit five PQs this season. And we both placed fourth, third, fourth. Made it to the corners in quarterfinals in one. In the top eight game, it just kind of went my way. His blood rushes were just less good. I think he had to pitch one to play one in the middle to end game. I transformed with, I think, seven life.
That is a feel bad. Pitch one to play one?
Yeah.
Harsh.
Well, it's something like that. You know, I think there was a few activated scabs and rolled a two, which was really good for me. Well, I mean, he retains his action.
Good for you.
He just doesn't get the double action.
Yes.
Which is very good for me. You know, when KO is stuck rolling scabs and they just hit the one action and they swing from one time, it's like, that's very good for Teclo. Those are the turns you can kind of get back into the games. But so, yeah, after beating Carter, I was feeling pretty fucking good, man. This is like best I've done all season. I've exceeded my expectations all season with this deck. Finally have the deck. Well, there's a few cards. Like, the Pursuit of Knowledges are a little weird. I will say that. I'll just be honest with that card. Like, it's cheeky and it's cute into Prism. I think it's a liability into the KO matchup. And if KO's going to be such a outstanding deck that players bring it to, like, a calling, there's going to be a big percentage of them. I just have to find a spot for that Pursuit. Or maybe I keep some number of Pursuits in for the Prism matchup. I do believe that card is cool into Prism, and it gives you some sweet lines to come back into those games. And
like we've been saying for the past weeks, KO is the deck to beat.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but Prism, my Prism matchup is tough too, man. And Pursuit offers this cool line where you like shoot pistol with go again with a blue.
Pistol then, or lever?
Leveler, sorry. I shoot my leveler, and you know, it has go again with a blue, right? It just requires a blue in Pursuit.
Yep.
Ideally you do this when they're angel or they have an angel out. So then it like draws a card from their hand. They don't want their ward to pop, so they like will block the leveler, and then you just like attack angel with Pursuit. So they go down a card, you hit the angel, still kill the thing they didn't want you to. You go up the intellect. Like it's a good tempo swing into that matchup.
So I know we were talking.
But I had it in, not to cut you off, I had it in against KO, and there's a few times where I'm like, fuck, man, this could be, if this was any other three block, like, I should probably find something for that card into the KO matchup.
I know you were saying before the pod, we were talking a little bit, you cut pistol from your deck.
Yeah,
The whole game plan, everything about it.
Induction chambers, pistol, yes. That whole everything. Game plan is out the window.
Open
yes.
up your sideboard.
I'm actually at the point where I'm just going to cut Oasis. I have one at this point now. I cut
I'm going to come spike you.
Well, you can.
I'm
no, you can. I'll just concede.
I'm kidding.
I'll get a but scoop ice cream.
So, shut.
I will. What do you mean? Free wins, dude.
But you cut in like induction chamber your pistol. Mm-hmm. So are you just mainly sticking to singularity and leveler game plan in yeah. every matchup? Yeah. Just try to.
Every game is well, besides Kano, because you are forced to play AB. But honestly, I was thinking about just cutting that and just playing an Arcane Lantern and going up the third relic. So you just try to get up to AB3 and then you still have
damn,
your
kind of cool. I had like a gold foil is... Arcane Lantern for that.
You did.
Hey. Hey, that's not, that was too soon. Too soon.
That's on you.
That's too soon. You know what though? What a fucking dog shit gold foil to have, because it comes in against the one matchup that maybe is kind of never at a tournament. You know, like you just see, there's never Kanos.
The worst thing
and
about
if you ever get to show it off, it's in the one matchup.
The worst thing about like, Mech,
that's terrible.
The worst thing about Mech is that you don't have a one-handed weapon. Yeah. Not one.
Oh, the pistols are two?
Yeah. Right. Everything is
right,
two.
Right.
Everything is two.
It's definitely not a two-hander either. You look at the thing, you're like, where's the other handle? Why is this a two-hand?
The pistol's one.
I thought there were two.
No, it is two.
Yeah, that's
hate
what I meant.
To say it, but the pistol is one.
That's terrible.
But it's think terrible. About it, though.
Kind of reminds me of like a certain warrior weapon that should probably be like one-handed.
Don't get me started.
Just stirring the pot.
I love it.
Okay, no, but okay, let's bring it back in a little bit, boys. So quarterfinals into Rathamel again. Shout out to Andrew. It was a pleasure playing against him. I lost to him three times this season, rightfully so. A couple of the other games were to my mistakes. I think this game was I played pretty clean. There were just turns, like I said before. I think we started recording. Dude's deck just like always had to go again. Even without the agilities, he always had to go again.
It hums.
And there were a few things against Carter that I did where I was like not attacking to trigger his clash of agilities. Because game one, I think I was doing that too much. So I just attacked less on turns I could have to just, you know, hope that card gets stuck in his hand and he doesn't get the agility. And there were a few turns I felt like maybe I did that against Andrew where I didn't really need to be pushing damage. And I triggered some of his clash of agilities, which there was a turn where I think it really did cost me an extra attack. But even without the agilities, it felt like the deck just always had the wild rides or always had the pulpings. Or I mean, he brought in Zealous beltings against me. It's like, man, they just attacked three times. Something big into Claw into something big, you know?
So I guess into your matchup, he mm-hmm. literally runs all of his go again as much yeah. as possible.
It's like his anti-fatigue strat, yeah. you know? You just bring in all your, you know, it makes me wonder on like how to, I probably can fix a few slots to have just to shore up that matchup a little bit, that consistent numbers KO deck. Cause that will be running around. That's going to be the next thing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's going to be a deck. That's going to be a contender for the next year. You know, he's already at 400 points. He hasn't even won a major or anything. He's at 400
points. It's going to be like another Starvo situation. He's going to LL like less than a year after he comes out.
It's crazy.
He'll be gone by the end of the year.
It's crazy. But yeah, I want to get a deck tech out on the Teclo deck eventually. We won't do that this weekend, obviously, but we will. I want to maybe go through that list and kind of go through card for card and the matchups and stuff. We can talk about that one of these episodes coming up. We got a lot of misfail stuff coming up too. So
yeah, we just got ton today. I think it's all the comments and stuff from the armory, or not the armory decks, but the blitz decks.
Well, speaking of armory decks, you guys want to talk about that just for
hold on? Yeah, because that dropped before on. We get into that, the deathmatch arena points did finish up. I know we just talked about KO being at 400 points for Living Legend, but for the deathmatch arena, it did finish, and Kasai won at 58 points. So anybody that played Kasai and got those points is going to get that special Kasai card.
What was that from, like, the drafts and shit from our teams?
Drafts, limited events.
Yeah. I know ProQuest were, like, all CC, I think, around the world. But.
Yeah, well, yeah, all ProQuest were, but it did just finish up.
Yeah.
So we should touch on that. Finally tallied. Kasai at 58, KO at 44, mm-hmm. Betsy at 20, Olympia at 10, Victor at 10, and Reiner at 2.
2, baby.
2.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise. Kasai was really good.
Limited?
Yeah.
Yep. Hands down.
Yep.
Kasai the best. But now we can move on. I wanted to touch on that
a
little bit. But,
you bought an Armory deck this last weekend, right?
I did, yeah.
There's a lot of discourse on surrounding that deck right now in the community. And
they had like a handful of them at Phoenix. So I was like, yeah fuck it.
Yeah. Did you see the price of the sash?
No.
So I saw a few floating around on the marketplace. I'm not sure. I haven't checked TCG this morning or anything, but I saw a few floating around the marketplace. People were asking $50 just for the sash, which, you know, pays for the deck if you bought the deck for that price. And, you know, I will say I understand the where people are coming from. What's the price?
Yeah, like $50.
Yeah, $50.
Yep. Jesus.
$50.
Just for the chest. Yeah.
Just right for the sash.
And I don't know if you guys remember, we talked about how, like, that is the risk you run, right? Where if this chest is playable like we think it is, and there's no other way to get the actual card, that card will hold the price of the box, just like Glistening Steel Blade does. Or is that the card's name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Classic Battles. And there's, like, a problem that presents, right? Because all of the enfranchised players rush to buy these, leaving out the new players that maybe actually want these. So I think it's maybe up to shops to kind of figure that side out. Make sure you're selling to your locals. Make sure you're not having someone come in and buy out all the decks for $40 and then taking the sashes out and, you know, and selling them and keeping the...
It's hard to say because, you know...
I get a lot of the discourse.
They bought the product. They want to sell it. They want to get it off their hands. It sucks.
No, I think they're selling these, or LGSs are only getting their hands on these if they're, like, running events is the thing too.
Legends.
So we got our case.
We
have 12 of them. I went and picked one up for sure.
I'm going to have to go get one.
Yep. I mean, everyone from our shop will definitely be able to get one.
That's worse.
But, like, the other big complaint about the deck was that it just was a bad deck. And honestly, a lot of people saying that I noticed were just, like, people or players that just, like, don't actually play the game very much. Because you look at the actual raw numbers of the deck, it's actually fine. It's actually pretty decent. You pick that deck up and play it, and it's like, oh, okay. This is, like,
okay.
This is fine. Does it need upgrades? 100%. Does it have no sideboard? It doesn't. No. And that kind of sucks. Sure, I get it. But do you want to be, like, confusing a player with, like, a whole sideboard and what to bring that in against what map? I mean, the whole sideboard is, like, that's part of learning the game. That's the learning curve of Flesh and Blood is, what does a sideboard even mean and do?
Yeah.
Because it does a lot of things. It means a lot of things. And that's kind of how you can express your deck building is through your sideboard a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great starting point for players, to be honest with you. It gives you one foil Roughshod, one foil...
What is the other Majestic in there?
The fake CNC. The way they did that was kind of cool, too. So you have to... It gives those cards value. And I don't know. I think everyone was very doom and gloom on the thing. And it's just like... It's a fine product.
Yeah.
And maybe the price point's a little high. Like,
starting point.
But it's...
I mean, you get your 3 Clash of Agility. You get your 3 Wild Ride. 3 Strength Rules All.
That's the card, I think. The Majestic.
Yes.
That's the one of the, and that's the new ones.
2 cost.
It's like a fake CNC.
When this hits a hero, turn a card in their arsenal face up, then banish an attack action card in their arsenal with less damage dealt this way.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Adding a card like Run Roughshod too just like ensures the deck has value. That card's playable in all brutes.
Yeah.
I know we brought up the fact maybe Enlightened Strike, but
yeah.
I don't think you can put that in an Armory deck at all. Like,
I think the way they did this was fine. I just think it was absolutely fine. I think this is like they gave you meaningful good pieces that, you know, the class needs, like this
chest piece.
Like Run Roughshod. And yeah, maybe there's going to be some weird scalpy shit going on with like the chess piece and stuff. And, but But yeah, kind of looking at the deck and looking at the numbers and how the deck actually functions and plays, I think people are missing that point. They just look at it and go, oh, no Majestics, that's worth $20. Oh, this deck sucks. It's like, no, dude, this is actually a great starting point for someone
solid
new.
Solid numbers, too.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
You could like put a couple Blood Rushes in the deck and like win an Armory. You actually could.
Hear
like,
me out. There's literally four different Majestics in the deck. Four different.
What do you mean? Like the...
So there's Savage Beatdown, Strength Rules All, and then the two equipment.
Oh.
Oh, well...
Yeah, I thought you were talking...
I thought you were talking cards.
Like the deck list.
That is.
No, the like the cards in the deck, not well, armor. Well,
how many...
There's two.
How many Savage Beatdowns and how many Strength Rules All?
There's three in
the deck. Three of each.
Three of each?
Yeah.
That's eight.
Yes, I know. What are you saying, brother?
I'm just saying, like, the deck isn't bad.
No, it's not bad at all. They gave you a full deck.
You get a lot of value from the deck in its sense.
Yeah. As it's like three copies of all the good cards you need. No card in the deck is a miss. They're all fives, you know, five power blues and stuff. Like, they play the KO game. Like, the deck is fine. The deck is just fine.
Yeah. I might play it next Armory just to see how it does.
Well, I would recommend maybe throwing some Blood Rushes in there.
No.
But do the experiment.
Play it raw. I want to play it raw.
You should try it and actually get back to us and see if it's as bad as everyone's saying. I don't think it is. I think everyone should just come on. Let's just play the game. Just stop. Not everything is so freaking good or bad or whatever. Like, the LSS has I think our best interest in mind, and like a deck like this is good. It's a good thing for the game.
It is.
And gets
people in the
going
game.
Off of this one, we have news of a Bolton Armory deck next.
Yes.
Mr. Bailey?
Dude.
Did you see some
of the...
Dude,
two of the spoilers for it, I think it was.
They were like defensive Decimator Great Axe-y type.
What do we got? Yeah, so the first one was some new leg pieces for Light Warrior. The Warpath of Winged Grace. When it defends, you may charge a hero's soul if a yellow card is charged this way. Create a quicken token. Two blade break. Not bad. It's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, once this comes out, I just cut out the whatever the common light equipment was from Dusk Till Dawn and just stick this in that slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Saving Grace. Thank you, LSS, for supporting Fatigue Bolton. I love you guys. It's a zero cost yellow D-react. And as additional cost to play this, you may charge your soul. If you've charged this turn, target attack gets -2 power. And it blocks for three.
So it's kind of like a zero block five with the -2 power and then block three, right? Yeah.
And another like defensive way to charge, which I think is also on the chess piece.
That's the only way you can charge defensively.
It's pretty good. But you are losing a card though, so it's not just a zero for five.
You are losing a card.
It's like a two card block five. But like the charge is relevant. And
but like for your setup. Even in like a Fatigue Bolton, like you still want to somewhat be charging, especially because you can give like Axe go again. So like end game after you've like run them down to like bare bones, you just axe, give it go again in the reactions. And then like, I don't know. I've been thinking about running like a one of like Cataclysm in mine, for just 4 second cycle.
Yeah. That one turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually could see that.
I don't think this is just like defensive Bolton. I think this is also combo Bolton. It helps set up your whole combo.
Helps, yeah.
You get to block five and charge for your combo turn. So, I don't know.
No, I think Combo Bolton will possibly play it.
I don't think possibly.
Honestly,
I think that deck will.
That deck choice was kind of surprising. I did not think, you know, Bolton would be the next Armory deck they would choose. I thought
I'm glad that they're pushing him a little bit.
It's cool.
He kind of
after
needs
seeing
it.
The Levia card, it's like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to push these Monarch heroes out, like Josh said last week. I don't know.
They're trying to push out all of the talented heroes.
I mean, I think naturally
they're giving
us
three new ones.
It's kind of happening naturally just because those heroes are.
Okay, that's a different talent, though. I don't think the power level behind those talented heroes are behind Monarch or Toa or Uprising. I think of those three are way stronger.
Yeah, I agree.
Than
any of
the
time,
Mystic
though.
Heroes.
Yeah, that's funny. We were talking at the Armory today, funnily enough, about just how like absolutely busted Tails was as a set. We got on like the topic of like Living Legend format somehow. Mm-hmm. We were like just going off about like how Toa was just insane. And
too
like
strong.
90% of the restricted cards in LL are from Tails.
Yep. Well, we're going to get a revitalization of that set here soon. We're like, they're going to give us another elemental set. And then that whole block of cards is like playable again. And
it's a completely dead card pool.
That's the worst part about it. But that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of saying like eventually it won't be. And then it's going to unlock all those cards again. And it's going to be fun. Like that. Watch it be around Christmas or like. It gets cold.
I'd love to get a new.
They're gonna give us some more elemental frostbites.
Please.
But hey, you mentioned your armory. Did you want to go over that quickly?
Yeah. I actually played in an armory today, too. On Azalea again. Just trying to get more like reps in with that. After the changes, went 2-1 for the day. Lost round one to Danny on Prism, and that. Oh, dude, that matchup as Azalea is rough. Like it, I don't think it's unwinnable, but it damn well feels like it.
There's just a lot of tricks she does. You don't have you're limited
tricky.
In poppers too.
And I have
zero.
No, yeah,
zero poppers.
I actually cut all of the poppers. But I did board in the Merc Myers for Prism, and I mean they do the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like one turn I. Got rid of like three angels off of it. I think it was like two angels plus
because
his, like ward arms. Yeah, because it's unpreventable. Wow. So it's the same as whatever.
It's actually really strong into Prism.
Whatever the other thing
interesting.
Is. Interesting. Yeah.
Vincent.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing as Vincent. Mm-hmm. Just unpreventable damage. So
interesting.
Ward still pops and just does nothing.
It's pretty good.
So yeah, I got that off like one or two times and it just wasn't enough to swing tempo in my favor. Prism's good. Prism's really good. He didn't even have to do like the Halo of Illumination shenanigans or any of that. It just
I don't even think there was a Prism in at the PQ.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. There might have been one.
Really?
Yeah, there might have been one. I think Danny was that was his tournament. That was your tournament,
so, yeah.
Danny.
Played an Azalea Mirror round two, and took that one pretty handily. I mean, it was She was just firing on all cylinders today.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, like one block from hand, shoot seven, go again into another arrow into...
Or your codex.
Turn after. Here's a arrow with go again into codex into... There was like a knock the death whistle into a codex and just brought back the same fucking arrow or whatever. And it was humming.
Yeah, Azalea's dope. That's why I love that deck. There's just so much movement that happens in playing the deck.
And then round three played into Tim on Riptide. That was a game.
Doesn't seem like one of your good matchups, probably.
He was on a more aggro Riptide. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cliff, aggro Riptide?
Yeah, hey, hit up Tim, see what he's working with. But... It was close. I ended up taking it off of. I like was able to just squeak out like a dominated arrow at the end. It was down to the wire though. I was on three. I can't remember what he shot, but he hit me with an arrow, and I was debating whether or not I wanted to give up Tunic. I think it was only on one, so like I probably should have just done it anyways. But I was like, okay, like I'm on three, give him the tunic block, it leaves me on two, so I don't just immediately die to a trap.
Yep.
Swings back to my turn and hit him with, I like had a release the tension in arsenal, which saved my ass because guess what? He had the D-react in arsenal.
Yep.
So played the release, the tension. He had like one D react in hand, and the tunic actually ended up saving me there too, because he would have been able to double blah or double D react there.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice, dude.
It was a hell of a game. Shout out Tim. I mean, he's good shit.
That's awesome, dude.
Every game,
I always have a good time playing on the mound. It's a fucking great time.
Tim
out there.
Is always a gem to play against.
Oh yeah,
there was one time, I want to say Tim was playing Viscerai, and he threw me like 36 damage, managed to come back and kill him on Dory. And he goes, "You are a menace." and honestly, Tim is one of my favorite guys to play against.
Yeah,
he's isn't always that a good who time. You bought your?
That's who tunic I bought my from? Tunic from. Yeah,
ironically, off of TCG.
Yeah, as well. No, it was so fun. I like bought my crewneck on TCG. It was like a week or two later. I went to like a mound armory. I think it was like one of the first times I went to the mound armory too. So it's like, oh, hey guys, I'm Bailey. And Tim just goes, "Hey, did you buy a tunic recently?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, I sold that to you."
The ironic thing is, I watched him. I watched him rip that tunic. Oh, funny. So it was just a chain
full
of
circle.
Events that
full
went
circle,
around.
Baby. That's literally, awesome.
Literally, he goes, "Do I buy Crucible or do I buy Toa?" I go, "Crucible." Rip the tunic, and I go, "No shot." And then all of a sudden, you told me, "Yeah, I bought a tunic." And I go,
"Nice.
Wait a minute. From this guy?"
It came full circle. It was great. But that's no, I always enjoy playing over there with those guys. It's another like great environment at that shop, too.
It is.
Corey's a great guy. Great.
They've grown
out there. Yeah,
quite a bit.
They probably get like 7 or 8 in armory now. So it's kind of like watching like how we started over here at Legends. They're kind of like going through that same kind of like.
Maybe one day they'll have a PQ or something cool.
Yeah, that'd be, dude, can you imagine like a back-to-back weekend, like Legends, Adventure Loot, PQ weekend?
That'd be wild. Right in our back
door. They have a new shop, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. They did just recently move locations.
Mm-hmm. They could fit enough tables in there to get 32.
Yeah, I think they could.
Most shops can. That 32 number is, you know, doable.
So easily attainable.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a great time out there playing Azalea again. Just getting reps in there.
You guys want to get into... did we get more than one spoiler? We got a ton just now, but we will get into those probably next week.
I think, yeah, if we just do like a breakdown of all
we got
of
the wizard.
Common and rare.
We got the wizard one, I do want to...
But yeah, we got a wizard spoiler in the expansion slot.
I know Ty is excited about it. Well, so I'm not even really like... I don't know if I want to say excited about it. I think it's a cool design card. Like,
it is a really cool.
Dylan and I were talking about it and how, like, if you play it in Kano, right, which I'm sure you will be, and you reveal it on top with his ability, right, your turn ends. It's like typical Eye of Ophidia on top type thing. But the thing that you said before we recorded, well, here, why don't you read the card first, Bailey?
You want me? Yeah,
go ahead.
So it's a wizard instant, Kindle, 0-cost red, with amp 1, which is a new keyword ability. And amp says the next time you would deal arcane damage this turn, instead deal that much +1. This happens before prevention effects. And then if you have no cards in hand, draw a card. So it's also a neat little like cantrip on top of that. Where you can maybe draw into like that blue that you need to hit a Kano ability again or pitch it to something else. So that's cool. But with the wording on amp, the really cool thing is it's the first time we've seen something that like hits the wizard staffs as far as like buffing their arcane damage. So both Icelander staff,
Kraken's Aether Vein.
Yeah, Kraken's Aether Vein and Waning Moon pick up the +1 arcane from this.
So we've been waiting forever to see if something would ever pump Kraken's Aether Vein. And I think this is the first time we've seen a card that's able to do it. And when you kind of think of like the flavor of this card, you know, it's got like this little tiny ball of fire in the guy's hands. He's just holding this last little bit of kindling, right? The card's called Kindle.
Yeah.
Like if you play this into Kraken's, Kraken's hits for 2. You draw 2 cards, plus you draw cards.
Plus you
from
draw
that
the
resolving.
Card on Kindle if you have
like
think
no about
cards
it. You kindle like this tiny little like last ditch effort, and then you bam, here's your full like half a full, you know, 3 cards of a hand. It's like wow, like okay, that's very flavorful when you pair it with Kraken's Aether Vein.
It's not even just Kraken's Aether Vein. It's when you do your
Blazing?
No.
Are you thinking of the staff?
No.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but that card sounds meaty on a card like a Sonic Boom.
No, oh, yeah, I mean,
yeah, even like a Sonic Boom, yes, there's a lot of good stuff. Aether Wildfire.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, or, no, obviously.
That's actually
like,
what I meant.
Yeah, you, obviously, you meant like your Aether Wildfire. It hits all of, like, the wizard.
You hit your Crucible, yeah. you Kindle, and then you just go, boom, five.
Yeah, this has to be in hand for that. I think the problem, though, is, like, you probably
not
run,
even
like,
hand. You pitch stack it.
Well, you just want to be
careful. But you can't hit it off the top.
Yeah, you have to be careful because this is a dead card instant. On top.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't like that's hit all. It off a Kano ability.
Well, that's when you draw. That's your pitch stack ability.
Yeah. No, I like Ty was saying, though, it's kind of like hitting eye off the top, though, where it will just end turns. Like, there's no
there's some give and take with that card for sure. It's good. It seems cool. I like the design of it for sure. But Dylan was definitely right. I thought it was like cracked. He's like, oh, just use turn ends though if you reveal it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That's maybe a good way to balance it. It's great to play from hand. You have to make sure you play it as the last card in hand too, which gives that flavor of kindling too. Like kindle, it's the last card, your last little bit to do something. It's cool. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a sweet card.
I think it'll be, I mean.
Did we get
I
another?
I think Kano's will play it.
Did we get another spoiler this week?
I think that was it for
outside of all the crazy
outside
ones
of all the ones we got today
got.
From the looks like they just spoiled all of the Blitz decks.
Okay, well, so we did have one question.
A lot of commons and rares to go over next week. We'll just do like a whole like set breakdown because we should get almost the all of the rest of it by next week, right?
Yes. 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get to talking about them. I mean...
But shout out to, I did want to say before we end, shout out to Rothermel for winning another one. He won Phoenix. I don't know if I said that. He won three of our ProQuests this season in Minnesota. Yeah,
dude. Hey, shout out to Nathan for judging all of these.
And then Nathan
season.
Judged two of them. He pulled the Chains of Eminence. Very good pull.
Yes.
Just kidding. It is not. But that's all right. You know, it's not one of the best.
Sometimes you hit a Chains of Eminence in a judge pack. Sometimes you hit an Arcane Lantern in a gold
He got drone,
pack.
I think, for the first one. It was drone. But speaking of Nathan, we can get on to a couple questions here before we pull this gold foil, boys. Nathan asked, why do you hate judges?
Was this directed at anyone?
I think this was probably directed at me just because of my gripe with the judges this season. But honestly, I think all the judges did a really good job. There might have been some weird calls that I didn't agree with, but that's what happens. Yeah, I think for the most part, the judges and the players are in the game because they both love the game. Coming from Magic, I know there was some, I mean, the judges weren't always the best. There was definitely a sense of like superiority coming from that community. Whereas like judges in this community are always like wanting to help you.
And a lot of the judges are also players.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yep.
So there's that same kind of like just sense of community there.
I don't hate judges. I definitely love judges. I love giving him shit.
Some judges.
I love giving Nathan, Nathan. Shit.
Oh, sorry. Stuck in my throat.
Freaking deck checks me, gives me back my deck. All my deck is sorted by color. I'm just like, fuck. Just take 15 minutes to shuffle the fucking thing. Just like, thanks, dude, thanks. But no. We love the judges around here. We just like to give them a hard time.
And they all take it in stride, too.
Yep.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. And then Carter asks, who's your guys' sleeper pick for Nats, for winning Nats?
Sleeper?
Honestly, my sleeper pick might be Riptide. Like, I could see, like, a sneaky good Riptide coming out and bringing it down. There's been a lot of them out and about this season, and they've been putting up numbers. There was one that, like, won 8-0 in a ProQuest, mm-hmm. wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's really a sleeper at that point, but...
All right.
I remember when you guys talked me off of playing a Riptide to play my Dash deck and I got stomped on it. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Hey, I still don't think you should play Riptide. But
I remember that.
I think it could be a sleeper.
My sleeper, Tekla. Tyler Barrett.
Good. Yeah, shit. Yeah, right. Well, too bad I'm not playing in Nats, but I'll be there.
Y'all are missing the elephant in the room. It's obviously going to be Fi again.
I thought you were going to say
Betsy. He just won Worlds. Nobody's seen a Phi and a PQ in how long?
No, it's not going to be Phi.
So I don't think it's going to be Phi.
It's going to be...
You're crazy.
It's going to be a Phi that shows up and cooks everyone.
I don't think it's going to be Phi. I think he's actually in a pretty terrible spot right now. There's a lot of decks out there right now that just kind of dunk on Phi.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard for him to win in some of these matchups. KO, Victor, how do you beat either of those decks?
He is not the menace that he used to be.
Obviously my cop-out answer, I think, would be Teclo. I actually think like he could win a tournament like that for sure. But going a little more, I'm going to say Enigma. Because I think Enigma is going to be traditional.
Will they be out
Enigma
by
is going to be like, yeah.
Okay.
She's going to feel like a traditional Prism deck to me, I think, with auras and ward. And it's going to be really annoying for some decks to play against that deck.
Yeah.
And I think we might have a very strong Illusionist on our hand again. So, like, we're going to have this little few months of no Dromai, and then bang. We're going to get another crazy Illusionist, and it's going to make all of our lives living hells. So I'm going to say Enigma.
Danny.
That'd be
Danny,
my,
please don't.
Sleeper pick.
No.
Please don't do it, Chris, Danny.
Please do.
Yes, I called you out, Danny. Please don't.
No, I called you out, Danny. Please do it.
Do it.
I'm not excited for Carter to get his hands on all this assassin shit.
I know. Yeah, Nu seems like she's going to be cool, too. Yeah, this set's going to be dope.
I'm telling you, we could have slotted in like a Mystic Ranger into this set, man.
I don't think we needed more Rangers.
I don't think we can see another talented Ranger for a while. That's just my take on it.
No balls, James.
I really don't. Ranger already has so many tools in their toolbox, man. They're fucking stacked.
Anyways. Yep.
Definitely a toolbox deck for sure.
Yep. Yeah, it sucks. However, everyone's been on the receiving end of a Ranger deck gone wild, and it's not a good feeling.
That's true. It is feels bad sometimes.
Yeah. Any more questions this week?
No, that was it.
Kind of it there? Cool.
Yep.
Well, should we
do it?
Should we crack this gold foil?
Sure. Do it. Do you want to get it on video?
Yeah, we'll get this one on video too.
Well, this is Phoenix Games gold foil from this past weekend's ProQuest.
First reaction I want is Cliff's.
We couldn't let Chris get his grubby hands on this one.
I'm calling it right now. Do you want to know what it is?
What is it, Cliff?
It's that stupid fucking Uprising ice head piece.
I don't even
uprising
think that's in the...
Uprising ice head piece. I don't think that's uprising. Up in the pool. Code of Frost?
Is it not?
No.
Code of Frost
you're
is
You're
tails.
Talking about the arms.
He's talking about the Viking-looking helmet. That's not I don't think
that's,
yeah.
That one's not
I don't think
the
that's
pool.
A gold foil. I don't even think that exists.
No, it's a galvanic bender then.
Shut up.
Well, we re-upped. We re-upped the last one for this one, basically, is what we did. So.
I think there's a decent chance this could be one of the M's.
Courage.
Well, we didn't get one in Minnesota yet, so. Courage would be fucking insane, dude. Honestly, I was thinking, too, like a Voltaire.
Is this the Courage?
Yeah, Voltaire's pretty good because I get to play this in LL.
Yeah.
So a Voltaire with these.
Voltaire,
I get to,
a Voltaire would be sick.
Courage.
The seal has been broken. All right, we're just going to flip it together, boys.
Pop that cherry.
Centering is not very good on the back.
Oof. Again.
All right, ready?
Not a very good back shot there, but...
Boom.
Oh, my God! That's spicy.
The double Dom Blade, baby. My first gold foil.
Dom Blade.
Right in front of
so
Josh's
much,
fucking
dude.
Face.
I hate you
this
so
is for not coming
much.
To Phoenix, you son of a bitch. This could have been yours.
I think
I hate you so much right now.
You want to buy it? 1K.
So,
it's yours.
So, Josh, how's that office feeling right now? Is it
well,
feeling
he is currently
rather
in my
lonely?
Office. That's the worst feeling about it.
No, so the first gold foil I ever won from a ProQuest was a gold foil Dawn Blade. So this is actually...
It's like a little bit of a callback.
Eh? Yeah, for sure. This is kind of full circle. This is not a bad pull either. This is one of the good ones. This probably easily goes for a grand, 900 to 1,000 probably. I mean, some people will lowball you and be like, 700. But yeah, this is a Better than an arcane lantern.
Way better.
Maybe now I'll start playing Dory and show Josh how to play her.
Shut up. I might just have to buy that.
What a pull. Hey, man.
Eesh.
Eesh. Eesh. Good pull. Good pull.
That's good pull. Great good next pull, to yeah. these. Good oh, yeah. pulls.
Well, there we go. Hey, Phoenix Games, Gold Foil Dawnblade.
Josh, what hurts more, watching him pull another Gold Foil Dawnblade, or would it have hurt more if he pulled the Gold Foil Courage?
Oh,
the
Courage.
Be
honest. Courage. 100%. 100%.
Courage would have been nuts.
Dawnblade is acceptable, and I can afford it. Courage, can't afford it. you tell me $3,000, I no.
No, I don't think they would.
Is that what the Courage is at going?
26.
No. That's super high. That's super high.
I don't think that's super
high. No, I promise. I just saw one. Someone was asking like 2,000 or best offer for a Courage. So
really?
Yeah.
I saw someone ask 28.
That's crazy, dude.
That's crazy. I think it's sold.
Probably. Maybe I'm there's crazy a lot of whales out there.
Now's the time to buy them, but
lo and behold,
that was fun. Good pull.
Way better that's pull.
A much better hit than the Arcane Lantern.
Way better pull. But
all right, boys, ready to get the fuck out of here?
Let's get the fuck out. Well, hey. You can.
Thanks for tuning in this week, everyone, to episode 39 of Big Deck Energy. We are indeed getting the fuck out of here. You can find us on Discord. Link to the server will be in the show notes, as always. Feel free to shoot us an email, bigdeckenergycast@gmail.com. We're also on... what else are we on? We're on a couple of different things. We just don't
post. Are we on,
post.
Like, Apple Podcasts, maybe?
We are on Apple Podcasts.
Amazon, I think.
It just publishes.
We're around
all of them.
Yeah, we're around.
One of these days, we'll finally have something up on YouTube for y'all. we should actually put these gold foil openings up.
Probably
should.
Should
do.
Oh, I actually got Nathan's opening too.
His judge pack opening.
Yeah,
chains.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we should.
you already said it.
I know. No, I'm just kidding.
Should put those up. But anyways, yeah. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll be back with you all again next week.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
As always, it's a pleasure.